Thank you, Liz and Brittany. Beautiful song. Thank you so much. All right, Malachi, or as Tim said, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And Brother Chase wanted me to remind the Berean Baptist Academy students, it is a handbook denim day tomorrow. And so in line with Spirit Week is next week, right? Starting Friday to Friday, something like that. I don't know. He has all that stuff taken care of. But anyway, it'll be exciting. It will definitely be exciting. And then I wanted to mention, how many of you get the newspaper? All right, several of you do. But anyway, in the newspaper, Matt and Stephen Lovelace, they're right back there in the back. They were on the dean's list at Bob Jones University. And that's quite an achievement. Go ahead, clap for them. That's good. There you go, Kayla. Good, good. And Bob Jones University is pretty tough to be on the dean's list. Where's Carrie? Carrie, how many times were you on the dean's list? Oh, you were on the dean's list. Carrie's very intelligent. But it's tough, isn't it? It really is. We're proud of these fellas and their hard work, and that is good. Malachi, we started on this morning. We're kind of finishing up December in January. And talking about a time for giving, and now we're talking about the types of giving. And really, I broke that down into three groups. One is giving what is mine. Two, giving what is not mine. Three, giving what will be mine. And so we started this morning on giving what is mine. And usually, as I mentioned this morning, any messages I've ever heard or even preached, anytime I talked about giving, you always start with tithing. And it just seems like we always start there because that is commanded of God. You know, it's obedience. It's not, it's not really an option. The tithe is the Lord's. But since I started with giving what is mine, well, the tithe is the Lord's. It is what is not mine. Therefore, we're going to talk about it next week. But giving what is mine, we're talking about giving our heart. We talked about that this morning, really keyed on that. And by the way, if you give God your heart, all other giving is pretty simple. It makes a whole lot of sense. It becomes a blessing. You become a cheerful giver when you give God your heart. And I'll kind of do a little review over that as well. But we give our heart, which is mine. It's my heart. And then offerings, those are ours. And alms are also ours. We're going to talk about those two things tonight. This morning we talked about giving our heart. Tonight we'll talk about offerings and alms. But again, everything goes back to our heart. My son, give me thine heart. And God wants your heart. What's that mean? He wants your affection. He wants you to love him. And he wants that heart. Because it's our heart that is our soul. And the soul is the part that chooses. It makes all the choices. And if I give my heart to God, I'm going to choose right. If I give my heart to God, I am going to choose spiritual things rather than carnal things. I'm going to desire the spiritual things, the things of God, the heavenly things, the right things. I'm going to desire those over the worldly things. Now, we talked this morning, and I'm not going to re-preach this morning's message, but we talked about that battle between our body and our spirit. Our body obviously is the flesh, and it is capable of wickedness. The lust of the flesh, Galatians 5, long list of wicked things. We're all capable of that. Our bodies are capable of that. It is our bodies that where, as far as the attractions of the world, if you will, reach our soul. That's the part of us that chooses through our body. It reaches the soul through the body. And so our body is attracted to those things. It's attracted to worldly things, wicked things, carnal things, fleshly things. But our spirit is, if you're saved, your spirit is attracted to godly things, righteous things, worshiping God, communion with God, adoration of God, praise, and etc. And so if my body is attracted to the, if my body attracts the world, I'm sorry, let me say it exactly how I've written. Attractions of the world reach my soul through the body, and the attractions of God reach my soul through the spirit. You can see where there's a battle. Now, I only said all that. I didn't mean for it to be real deep. Some people said, but some people said, oh, that was very helpful. Because we have a battle going on. And that battle going on is our flesh and our spirit. And we read a lot of verses. We talked about that. And both of them are trying to influence my soul, which makes the choice. And trying to influence my affection, my love. That's why God says, my son, give me thine heart. You say, what's that have to do with tithing and giving and all that? Because once you give God your heart, the giving to God part is very easy. It's not hard at all. Once you give him your affections, I'll give you some illustrations and show you that again. And so we go back to Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he says, in tithes and offerings. And again, remember this, robbery is not the same as stealing from. It's not sneaking in and stealing. It is robbing. It is, I'm holding you up. You will give me this. And so if you're not tithing, you are robbing God. But he said this, he says, you're also robbing me if you're not giving offerings. And I think that's interesting. Again, it's the same thing. Well, why is it? Well, we'll talk about that as we talk about offerings tonight. But he says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Again, if you rob God, do we understand if we rob God, there's going to be problems? Do we understand that God says ye are cursed with a curse if you rob him? Then he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now we'll talk about those next week, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So on one side, and why it's important is, one side we have cursings, and the other side we have blessings. And certainly we want everybody to have the blessings of God instead of the cursings of God and the problems that come along with that. And so that's why this morning, the first thing I started with is in giving what is mine is giving our heart. Boy, you give your heart and it changes all giving. Everything changes, you know. You'll watch people and maybe you were like this when you first got saved and the preacher preached about giving and talked about tithing and talked about all, and it's like, oh, you know, all they're trying to do is get my money. But you know, when you give God your heart, it's no longer like that. It's not like, well, somebody's just trying to get my money. Number one, you recognize some of it already is God's. And then number two, you recognize that I love God. I love God. Now, again, we have to understand this, giving God our heart. Our heart is that part of our soul and that part of us that chooses. And when I say to God, when I get on an altar before God and I kneel before God and I say, God, I want you to have my heart, I'm yielding myself to God to do whatever God wants me to do. That means whatever's in my wallet, whatever's in my checkbook, whatever I have, it's his. Now, I know it's already his, and we talked about that this morning. But it is his. And so let's get back to giving what is mine. And the first thing is our heart. What is that? Our affection, our love, all of that. And it affects the decisions that I make. It affects my actions. Go, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. This will really help you understand what I'm talking about. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. My son, give me thine heart. God, why do you want my heart? I want your affection. I want your love. I want your attention. I want you to love me. God says, I want you to make decisions that are not carnal decisions, but they are spiritual decisions. I want you to make decisions that will enhance our relationship. God says, I want you to make decisions that will help us have a closer communion together. God says, I want you to, by the way, folks, when we sin, we break that communion. When we disobey God, that shuts off that relationship. God says, I want you to make your decision so we can be close. Are you close to God tonight? My son, give me thine heart. And Colossians 3, verse 2, we kind of ended with this toward the end this morning. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections. That means focus on heavenly spiritual things, give God your heart. Give God your heart. Illustration, and I gave this illustration this morning, but kind of did it quickly. And when I set my affection on Brenda, when we first were dating, and I set my affection on her, it affected my decision-making. My decision-making changed drastically when I set my affection on her. It affected my time. Why? Because I wanted to spend more time with her. It affected my school, which it shouldn't have, but it did. And why? Because I wanted to spend more time with her. It affected my job. How? Because I wanted to talk on the phone with her. Long distance. Remember long distance calls? Young people today, they say, what's that? Dial what? How'd you do that? And it affected my job. I mean, I remember sitting in the gas station many, many times talking on the phone. Customers pulled in, and I just wave at them, you know. And yeah, you're not supposed to do that. But it affected that. It affected all of these things, and it affected my all that I did. In fact, sometimes I'd go to school in the morning. I'd get off work. I'd drive the 45 minutes to her house. We would have a date, and it would be very, very late by the time I started driving home. And sometimes I'd get home about 2 o'clock in the morning just to turn around and do the same thing the next day. What do you say that affected? That affected sanity. And I mean, I remember some nights, honestly, driving that distance, that 45-minute drive, I remember trying to stay awake. I turned on my windshield wipers, rolled down the windows, stuck my head out. How many of you ever been there before? I mean, you're just trying to stay awake. Yeah, Don, probably every day, right? But I mean, it affected everything I did. Now you say, was it worth it? Oh, of course it was worth it. There's no question about that. But it affected me. And that's what I want you to understand. Now, everybody here, you can identify with that to some extent. There's something in your life you have set your affection on, and it changed things for you. It rearranged your schedule. It rearranged your life. By the way, I ended up, when I set my affection on her, it affected my relationship with all my friends. You know, a lot of my buddies, they said, boy, you're just too busy for us anymore. Yeah, you know, look at you and look at her. What do you think? You say, that was your body. Well, anyway, but let me use the illustration. But I chose her over my friends. I chose her over my money. What do you mean? First Christmas. That we knew each other. I mean, for me and for the job that I had, I spent a fortune on her. I bought her, you want to know how much exactly? That's kind of personal. I bought her a clock radio. I don't know how much it cost. I don't remember this day, back in those days. I bought her a clock radio, and I bought her, because she was religious, I bought her a cross necklace with a diamond in the middle. Yeah, you had to really look hard to see the diamond, but you still have that, don't you? And now, but you say, yeah, but come on! I mean, what about buying all these things that you like? It changes. Are you listening? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Where was my treasure going? Well, I was buying gasoline, and back in those days, you know, I was paying like 50 cents a gallon. Yeah. Oh, would we love to do that again? But I remember it so well, you know. You're spending all this money for gasoline. You're wearing yourself out. You're spending money on Christmas. My mom said, good. I mean, you're spending all this money and everything. Well, the biggest thing was when I took her to the Bluffton Street Fair. And at Bluffton, Indiana, they had a street fair. And you know, affection does this to you. Now please get this illustration. I've given it before, but you all have these kind of stories. And I can still remember, we're walking there in the street fair, and every year they have some thing that they're giving, well, you're trying to win, right? You know, some new popular thing. Well, that year it happened to be a big white buffalo. And it was about this big, a stuffed buffalo. And I can still see it. We're walking down, and all the guys, all the ones that are running the games in the booth are, hey, buddy, hey, you want to win this for your girl? Hey, come on, you know what I'm talking about? Everybody, you know. All right, so they've got all that pressure. But here's what she did. She said, oh, that is the neatest looking buffalo. I'd like to have one of those. Yeah, you laugh. Now look, here's the thing. My affection was already set. Okay, what did I hear? Well, I heard the guy saying, hey, big boy, you can win this thing. But when I heard her say, I thought, I can win that. You understand. How many of you know they determine whether you win or not? Okay, they do. I don't care what the thing is, they do. And all I had to do is get the ring on the little doohickeys thing. And the guy saw me coming because he saw what was in her eyes. And I was hooked. And I spent trying to get the little ring on the little post. He let me try to, I was tossing it for a while and that wasn't working. He let me slide it and I couldn't get it. It's not that funny, Glenn. You have to understand, I spent $25 trying to do that. Finally, he just said, well, you know, he gave me some dumb thing. Who knows what it was. And I'm walking away. And she said, it's okay. It's all right, really. But what happened? She said, I really like that. And that's all I could think about. We rode rides. We did the one ride where you go upside down, all the change in your pockets falls out on the ground. People pick it up. And we did all those kind of things. And after the thing, after we were done riding the rides, I went back and I said, look, how much will you take for that dumb buffalo? $40 more. And I bought that buffalo for her. We still have it. It's out in the garage in a bag somewhere. Now, I'm going to tell you, I give a silly illustration because, folks, affection. Why do you do what you do? You know, because we set our affection. Now here, look, giving God our heart. Here's the thing. You can do a heart analysis tonight. Where's your treasure? Because if you want to know about your heart, look where your treasure is. Where do you put your treasure? Look at Matthew 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6. 19. Yeah, you'd think that buffalo would be, you know, mounted up on a pedestal in the house or something like that. It may be one of the most expensive things we own. Matthew 6, 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Very clear. God makes it very clear. Where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And our treasure, you know, wherever my treasure is, that's where my heart is. And certainly after that fair, it was pretty obvious where my heart was, though my treasure was in somebody else's wallet. You know, my heart, because I put my affection on her. Now, how much of your treasure is in heaven? And if there's not much treasure in heaven, then ask yourself, what are my affections on? What have I given my heart to if I haven't given my heart to Jesus? What have I put my heart? What have I set my affections on? Have I set my affections on worldly things? Or have I set my affection on my Father, my God? And so that is going to have a direct influence on our offerings and our alms. And so the first challenge is give God your heart. It's your heart. It's your decision. It's your choice. Give me thine heart. Second thing, my offerings. What about an offering? Offerings. Okay, again, we're giving what is mine. The tithe is not yours. The tithe is not mine. I have no choice over where that goes. I have no choice whether to give. That is God's. 10% tithe, it means 10%. That belongs to God. That is not mine. But offerings are mine. Now, in Malachi 3:8, it talks about tithes and offerings. And tithes, the word tithe comes first. And we're just not talking about it first. We're going to talk about it second. But tithe is, we give our tithe. We actually don't give a tithe. We bring our tithes. But we do that out of obedience. An offering is part of that will again. It's a sacrifice. And you know, again, tithes come first because the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Okay? To obey, tithing is when I tithe, I'm obeying God. That's first. And then second is the sacrifice. And we'll get into that later on. But the thing is, you know, we have a lot of people say, well, I gave an offering, but do you tithe? No, you're robbing God. And we need to tithe. That is crucial. To obey is better than sacrifice. Tithing is first. But offerings is what I'm talking about because it is mine. Offerings are always associated with sacrifice. Look it up in the Bible and you will see it. And they come from a heart of love. Go to Exodus 35. Could have looked at many, many verses. Exodus 35 and verse 5. All offerings are always associated with sacrifice of some kind, and they come from a heart of love. Exodus 35 and verse 5. Again, it's not God saying, you will give me an offering. It is God saying, give me your heart. And if I give him my heart, I will give him an offering. If I gave her my heart, I will buy her everything I can. If I gave her my heart, I will get her a white buffalo. If I gave her my heart, I will give her my time. If I give him my heart, well, the offerings will come. That is so simple. I've given him my heart. I've shown him that I love him and my affection is toward him. Offerings are, they should be no problem at all. But again, let's look at Exodus 35. Several verses, verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is notice, willing heart. It's not a command. Okay, it's a willing heart. Let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and so on and so forth. Again, a willing heart. Notice that. Verse 21 says, they came everyone whose heart stirred him up. Why would your heart get stirred up? Well, because my heart is toward God. What would stir your heart up? Well, because I love God. And it says, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And it's like this. It's like, I love God. Of course I'm going to bring an offering to God. Of course I'm going to bring a sacrifice to God. Of course I'm going to bring something that cost me something. And I'm going to bring that to God. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And all these things had to be made, but he said to the people, bring an offering. They said, of course, God, we love you. We'll bring an offering. Of course we will. No problem. Willing, willing, willing. Their heart made them willing. You know, it's not, we're taking off. I guess I've got to give. No, listen to me. Listen to me. If you have that attitude, again, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Tim doesn't care. He can pay the bills with non-cheerful money. Okay, he doesn't care. But the Lord, he wants you to say, God, I've given you my heart. This offering is saying I love you. This offering is like me giving my wife a white buffalo. It's like me giving her a necklace. It's like you giving your spouse something that they really want. It's like you giving them time. It is saying, God, I love you, and this offering, this thing, whatever it may be, I willingly, it's an honor, God, to be able to do this. It's an honor. Give me thine heart. And so your whole attitude about giving changes. You see, an offering is a way to say, thank you, God. An offering is a way to say, I love you, God. It's a way to say, I worship you, God. You're my God. And I've given you my heart. And here's an offering. But again, boy, if you don't give him your heart, offerings can be a problem. They really can. 2 Samuel 24, look at it. 2 Samuel 24. Here's where we start meddling just a little bit. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 19. I love this story. Start at verse 18. Gad came that day to David and said unto him, "Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." And David, according to the word of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face before the upon the ground. And Araunah said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Araunah said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood." All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." The king said unto Araunah, okay, here's what he says, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land. The plague was stayed from Israel. But the main thing David said is, he said, "I'm not going to give God something that didn't cost me anything." Why? Because he's saying, "I love him." That's why. Because I love God, and I want God to know that I love him, and it's going to cost me. Again, offerings always have that idea of a sacrifice. A sacrifice. Abraham, when he was going to offer his son Isaac, it was something precious to him. It was precious. And Abraham was willing because he loved God and he trusted God. But oh, was there going to be a cost? And of course, God took care of that. You see, offerings come out of the 90%. Okay, the tithe is the Lord. That's not yours. You and I have nothing. We just bring that to the storehouse every week. It's just automatic. That 10%, that is automatic, should be. But that 90% that's left, that's where, and you say, "Well, you know, I want to give an offering, but I'm going to go get carried away." But again, what's your affection on? Look, I'm not after your money. That has nothing to do with it. I'm after you to get the blessings of God. And I'm after us to do as a church and as Christians to do this exactly the way God says to do it. Offerings come out of the 90%. That's mine, that 90%. Isn't that amazing? God lets us keep 90%. It really is, you know. And they go to the storehouse, that's the local church, and you can designate them because it's yours. And you can give your offerings to whatever you want to give it to. And because that is yours. But it's not any old lamb. It's not any crippled animal. Offerings is saying, "God, I love you." You know, let's just say that she said, "You know, boy, that white buffalo, that is really something." And I tried to win one and I couldn't. And there was, you know, I looked and there was one that somebody had won and they stomped it all to pieces, tore the insides out of it, and it was all laying in the mud and everything. And I grabbed it up and I said, "Here." Yeah, we probably wouldn't be in our relationship today, right? See? Again, it wasn't the fact that it was sparkling white. It wasn't the fact that it was absolutely beautiful. It was the fact that, hey, you know what? I paid a price. And folks, listen to me. Offerings are that thing where we say to God, "I love you, God, and there is absolute, I'll do anything for you. I'll do anything for you." And that's where our offerings come from. You know? When people, special offering for, you know, we hear it all the time. Well, special offering for bus ministry, missionary, speaker. Special offering for, again, by the way, December, January, thank you so much. You folks are so good about this thing right here. I just hope you understand it, because it can be such a wonderful thing instead of just writing another check. You know, it can be such a wonderful thing. Every time you write that check or you reach in that wallet, it's, "God, I love you. I really love you. You're so good to me. And God, you're such a blessing to me. But it's those special offerings. And you say, oh, you know, but the electric bill. And I know that's coming up. And, oh, you know, what an inconvenience. Yeah, that's what an offering is sometimes. It's a pain. It's a sacrifice. It is something that costs. And understand, if there's some pain and some sacrifice, well, it's not an offering unless it is that bit of sacrifice on our parts. You say, well, I just kind of figured out in my budget. Sometimes, you know, it's best to just, again, I'm not telling you not to stick with your budget, but you have to allow for God to touch your heart, whereby he one day springs on you a white buffalo. And all of a sudden it costs you, and you think, I don't know how that happened. Come on, how many times have you given an offering and you had no idea how you were going to take care of the next week's bills or whatever it was you had to do? And yet it all happened. I'm not telling you to be foolish. I'm telling you, number one, to give God your heart, and number two, to give him offerings, to always be open to an offering. And what did we used to do? I remember when I first got saved, here's what I always did. I have no idea what's in here, but here's what I always did. Offering plate, first thing. By the way, I put my money in. I organize it by amount, the bigger bills in the back, which there aren't too many. But what do we always do? Offering time, we pull out the one, right? Yeah, that's what we do. That's what I used to do. You know what's a blessing is when you don't even think that way. Here's what's a blessing. It's a blessing when you say, Lord, what do you want me to give? Which end do you want me to pull from? Oh, you want me to get out the checkbook? Okay. For some folks, that means nothing. You know, checkbook, that's better off to get in the wallet. But again, it's an opportunity to say, I love you, God. Look at Luke 21. And we're moving along. We really are. You will be amazed. Luke 21. And again, I'm not after your money. I am after you to have God's blessing. Luke 21 and verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And you know this story. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And so here's all these rich people. They're casting their gifts. They're worth a fortune. They're putting huge amounts in. And here's a poor widow casting in two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Now we know numerically her two mites weren't even close. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And again, we get an idea of what God's looking for. She made a sacrifice. Those guys, they probably didn't miss what they put in. Here's to me the way it is. You say, that white buffalo, was it worth it? Oh, of course it was worth it. But did I think it was worth it that whole next week when I couldn't go to McDonald's? I mean, I was broke, totally broke. I mean, when the guy said he would sell me one, it was all I had. I just said, look, this is all I got. And I was broke. And you say, was it worth it? Oh, today I'm telling you it was worth it. But that whole, you know, it stung just a little bit. But that's it. It should. It should just a little bit. That offering, it should be a genuine sacrifice. Again, we're telling God we love him. These guys, they put in numerically more than the widow. But all they were saying is, we're going to do this because we're supposed to, or everybody's watching. You know, she said, God, I love you. Here. Amen. I'm not telling you to put everything in. I'm just saying she made a sacrifice. We should give our offerings every week. We should give our offerings and understand it's over and above the 10%. And we should do it because we love the Lord. You say, I can't do it. If you gave him your heart, if you put your affection on him, you couldn't not do it. You'd have a hard time going through a week without saying, God, here, I love you. Come on. Again, you're not buying your salvation. Aren't you glad we don't have to buy our salvation? You know why? Because we couldn't. Because it took the blood of Jesus. Precious blood of Jesus. Yeah, we couldn't have done it. We give our offerings and say, I love you, Lord. Often in the Bible, special events, birth of a child. Look at Luke 2. Luke 2, verse 22. Luke 2 and verse 22. Christmas story. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's Jesus. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. What are they doing? They're just saying, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for giving us a child. Last time you had a child, did you give an offering thanking God for that child? Not a bad idea. Last time you got a promotion, did you give an offering thanking God for the promotion? Last time you went to the doctor and the doctor said, you know, believe it or not, you're in good health. You were excited? Did you come to church and say, you know, Lord, thank you for my good health? Last time you started your car and it was below zero and it went and it started, did you then next week in church, did you thank God that your car started? You say, preacher, I'm going to go broke. No, you look, we just have a God that every, here's the thing. When you love someone so much, you kind of start looking for excuses to give to them, don't you? Yeah. Oh, it's our anniversary. Really? What one? We met a week ago. You ever hear kids say that? I mean, I've watched them do it before. You know? Oh, yeah, the anniversary of the day that we met. Boy, this is great. And by the way, my wife and I still celebrate that. And I try to do something for her every anniversary. And we are going on, we're getting real close. We're at 39 years in August of the day we met. Is that right? August 20th. Is it 39? Pardon? It'll be 40 this coming August. So last August was 39. So 40, that's big. We got to do something huge.
Steak and shake.
Amen. Steak and shake. She might leave me over that. That's right in there with the blemished lamb or the crippled cow. Thank you, Kayla. Real romantic. Yes, steak and shake. Look. Love looks for an excuse to give. And it, again, remember, offerings come out of our 90%. It's mine. And you give it through the church, or it can be through the church, or it should be through the church. And it's just, you're looking for an excuse to give an offering. You know, I'm going to give an extra $10 this week because God's just so good. You say, I need my, well, you know, that's the thing. All right, so first we give our heart. Second, we give our offerings. And then the third thing that we give that is ours is our alms. We don't hear a lot about alms. Alms means deeds of mercy. And again, the heart is the key. Because, you know, when you give God your heart, you see people the way God sees people. You ask God to help you see people the way God sees people. You know, deeds of mercy, just trying to help people out. We give God our heart, and He teaches us compassion, and He shows us how to love our brothers and our sisters, and even others out in the world. You know, and alms are such an important part of giving. Matthew 6 and verse 1. Matthew 6 and verse 1. I like this. I get a kick out of this. Matthew 6 and verse 1. Of course, you had the religious folks in that day, and Jesus really got after them. And got after them about their prayer lives and everything else, because they did everything for show. They did everything to get people to say, wow, look at them. Well, he also gets after them in giving their alms. In Matthew 6 and verse 1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Nothing. Nothing. Okay, so if we're going to help somebody and you want to help somebody out, and again, I'm not, and you make that known to everybody. Hey, look what I did. God says, you have your reward. Let's see what it is. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And Brother Dave, what is their reward? That's it. That's their reward. And so I'm getting ready to, let's say I wanted to help Jessica out, and Jessica has a great need. No, she has a small need. Notice we had to change that. Just notice what I reached for. Jessica has a small need, and now folks, Jessica has a need, and I just want you to know this. Now clap. That's my reward. That's it. That's all. That's my reward. You say, well, that's and some folks that's all they want. That's it. But you have to understand, here's what God says. God says, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now what's he say? He says, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Alms. What is that? That's helping somebody. Now I've thought about that. I've thought about, well, why doesn't God want people to know that you know, sometimes we do. We'll have our college students stand up here, or somebody will have a need and they'll stand up here. And I'm not saying God's not going to honor you for putting money in that little basket. That could be even, you know, you could call it anything. But here's the thing. Maybe Jessica doesn't want everybody to know. But the main thing is, I don't care if anybody knows. You know why? Because he knows. Because he told me to do it. And if he told me to do it, it's between him and I. And what a blessing that is. You know? And it's so clear. It's so clear. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Don't even let your left hand know if your right hand did it. Boy, that's secret, isn't it? Isn't that good? Because so-and-so has a need. And hey, you can make an announcement. You can let everybody know about it. And folks will say, wow, look, that person did this. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I can remember, oh, several times people have said, you know, well, you know, some pastors take a cut in pay to help their staff out, and all. Hey, listen to me. If I don't even tell my left hand what my right hand did, why would I tell you? I'm not going to ruin everything, get up and make some stupid announcement like that. Ever. But I can tell you, if God lays something on my heart, it gets done. But it's always done in secret. Why? Because I want God to be pleased with my alms. Amen. Folks, listen to me. This would change your life. It'd change your life to help people out and not sound a trumpet. Just be a blessing. Amen. Just be a blessing. I'm just about done. Look at Acts 11, verse 29. I love this. Acts 11, 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Notice that? According to their ability, they determined to help them out. According to their ability. Again, it's not required. It's not you will do this. It's yours. It's out of your 90%. But they did. The disciples did. Paul, Philippians 4. It'll be the last passage we go to. We're so close. Philippians 4 and verse 14. Philippians 4 is a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. Philippians 4 and verse 14. Now, watch what he says. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Paul said, I have an affliction. I have some problems. I have some needs. And you did well. You communicated with my affliction. And then he goes on, and by the way, what's he saying? He's saying, you help meet my need. You help take care of that need. Verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So now they're the only ones that really are paying any attention to him. But he's making and taking note of it, and he's letting them know, hey, you have been such a blessing to me. There is nothing like somebody giving a testimony, and they stand up and they say, you know, God provided for this, and you know he used you. It's such a wonderful thing, but nobody else knows. Now, if you stood up and said, hey, I did it, and everybody goes, oh, wow, that's your reward. But if you just smile and praise the Lord with them and say, isn't that wonderful? God's so good. Isn't that great? Then God says, I will reward you openly. Somehow. Don't know what it is, but he'll do it. Somehow. And Paul is saying, ye only. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. What did they do? Sent him a gallon of milk. Sent him a box of Wheaties. Glory to God. Sent him some. Yeah, they just took care of him. That's what he's saying. And he's, you know, he, it's such a blessing to him. But just watch. Then verse 17, not because I desire a gift. See what he says? He said it doesn't have anything to do with that. He says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Why is it a good idea to always have needy folks in the church? Because we can give our alms. That's why. Why is it good to walk around and get to know folks? Because you get an opportunity to give your alms. I never would recommend you putting an envelope with cash in those boxes downstairs. That's not probably not the best idea. But you can always write a person's name on it, give it to a child and tell them to give, don't tell who it was. Or you can buy somebody a meal at a restaurant. There's so many things you can do. And you can have a ball. And Paul says, it's not, I'm not telling you all this and telling you that I like Wheaties and that and all that. He said, I'm not doing that because I desire a gift. He said, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full. Having received, that means he had fried chicken. That means he had pork chops. No, he wouldn't have pork chops. Bad choice. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, he said, boy, this was so good. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know, I mean, he said, what I got from you, see what he said? He said, it was well-pleasing to God. Well-pleasing to God. You say, well, I'm not going to help those people. What's wrong with them? Yeah. Give God your heart. You'll see it a whole lot different. Amen. But it starts with giving God your heart. Because understand, when you do that, it's well-pleasing to God. And the least anybody else knows about it, the very best it is, it just pleases God. God says, you know, you're loving them like I love them. You're doing for them like I would do for them. Amen. And then what's he say? One of our favorite verses, we use it all the time. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. Yeah. Wow, I gave so-and-so. You know, I slipped them a $20 bill and helped them out with something. And they gave a testimony. It was a blessing. But the next day I had $40 extra in my paycheck. How can that be? Because God's God.
Amen.
God's God. And give him your heart. It's yours. Give him your offerings. They're out of your 90%. Give him your alms. And give them to his people as he lays it on your heart. And you will never, ever, ever go wrong. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.